For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Match Analysis. I'm Gil Gross. This is the 2024 Roland Garros Preview and Prediction Show. Quarter by quarter, as always, giving you dark horses, the unseeded players I think are most likely to go deep, upset alerts, the players who are seeded who I think might just lose early, early popcorn matchups, that is a first or a second round match I try to go first, that I think is highly intriguing, one that you shouldn't miss. And of course, quarterfinal predictions, final weekend predictions. There's nothing quite like majors. It hits different. I'm filling out my bracket. I'm thinking about all of these potential matchups. It's like Christmas morning when the draw comes out. And there is a really interesting buzz around this year's Roland Garros. And I want to start with just addressing that, kind of an overarching overview of the Roland Garros title picture, which some might suggest is more wide open than we've seen in 15, 20 years. I would agree with that. I would agree with that statement. Now, as soon as you say, I think 10 players can win, I think 12 players can win, that's where I stop you. I say, I disagree. I think after you get past, let's say, 7, you start to get to players where it's like, all right, that would be pretty stunning if that player won it all. I would be shocked. And I think that line of demarcation is at 7, maybe 6. If you look at my power rankings, wouldn't be surprised if anybody in the top 6 were to win. Rublev, that's borderline between wouldn't be surprised and shocked. And then anyone after Rublev, pretty shocked. That said, it's got to be the best chance on paper coming into a slam for Ruud, Tsitsipas, or Zverev to get one. It is their best chance that I can remember. I would also say that it is unlikely that the top 3 players in the world, the players who would have been considered the Roland Garros favorites if you rewind back to March, Djokovic, Alcaraz, Sinner, what are the odds that none of them find their best tennis? That seems a little bit unlikely. And if one of them or two of them actually get to their top level, well, they're the best out there. So you can't count out that possibility either. This is part one of the Roland Garros preview. This has never been done on the channel, but I'm actually going to do part two. And part two is going to be an interview, a conversation with Tom Corey, who is the head of analytics at Tennis Viz. We are going to do a deep dive and dissect the top players at Roland Garros. Maybe not all of them, but many of them. And we're going to look at what the numbers say about their games. Roland Garros or not, this is such a good conversation. I learned so much, and I know that this quarter-by-quarter preview is likely to get more views and more listens than that. But I'm really hoping that people don't skip that, because I think you are going to learn a ton from Tom, as I did when I was talking to him and asking him some of the questions on that I had in my mind from watching these players this year and seeing some decline and some improve. And I'm thinking, oh, can we look at that number? Does that explain the improvement? Does that explain the decline? It was really, really good. All right. Without further ado, quarter by quarter preview coming up. Let's start with Novak Djokovic, the number one seed. His quarter features Casper Ruud, Taylor Fritz, Tommy Paul, Adrian Mannarino, Francisco Cerundolo, Tomas Martín Echeverri, and Lorenzo Musetti. My dark horse here is Alejandro Davidovich Fekina. Upset alert, Francisco Cerúndolo. Early popcorn, Monfils versus Vilch in the first round. Full disclosure, you guys, this is the second time I'm recording this. The first time I went about 52 minutes and I felt that's way too long for a preview. So I'm going to try to be a little bit more concise and cut out some of the extraneous details here. Davidovich Fekina, my dark horse. He is not in good form. He hasn't had a great year. But what have we learned recently? Nicholas Jarry, Andre Rublev. Sometimes talented players can flip a switch pretty quickly and go on a run when on paper it's unexpected. And I just feel among the unseeded players, Davidovich Fekina has ability that jumps off the page. As a former Roland Garros quarter finalist, someone even last year who had two solid wins over Fies and Van Asche before losing a tight one against Djokovic. Remember, the first two sets went to tiebreaks. Davidovich Fekina has been really struggling in tiebreaks recently as well. He's just not a great tiebreak player. But anyway, first round, he'll get a qualifier. Second round, he'll get Casper Ruud. That's a head-to-head. He leads 2-1. He'll have some confidence taking on Casper. Maybe Ruud might get softened up a little bit in the first round against Mensik, especially because he's playing a lot of physical matches in Geneva. I don't know. It's an upset that I don't think is super likely to happen, but I do think among the unseeded players, Davidovich Fekina stands out. Upset alert is Francisco Cerúndolo. Now, I am avoiding the obvious pick here that I could have made, which is Adrian Mannarino, who loses the vast majority of matches he plays on clay. Instead, I'm going with someone who would actually, if he loses early, be considered far more of an upset, which is Francisco Cerúndolo, someone whose best level on clay is terrific. He's one of the best clay baseliners in the sport. He's just more prone, compared to the other seeds I'm looking at here, he is more prone to have a bad day in the office and lose to a player who he shouldn't lose to. This year, he is 9-9 against players outside of the top 50. It is not a good number for Francisco. Another one is at the last three majors he's played, he hasn't passed the second round. I believe he's been seeded at all three, so that's three in a row where he hasn't held seed. Not a terrible draw. Yannick Kampfmann, and then the winner of O'Connell and a qualifier. I actually don't have him. I don't predict that he'll lose in the first two rounds, but I do have Tommy Paul beating him for some matchup reasons. I think Tommy Paul's return style is going to be very bothersome for Cerúndolo's plus one forehand. I think that Paul will strip him of enough time that Fran is going to have trouble getting that first offensive strike in with his forehand, which is a big deal. Popcorn match for me here is Monfils versus Vilch. I think Gael always brings the juice in Paris. The crowds are crazy for him. He usually kind of ramps up his intensity. And, you know, Vilch, after upsetting Daniil Medvedev in the first round at Roland Garros, his ranking is a whole lot higher this time around. It's a nice contrast of styles. And I think it's going to be probably a close match, probably a long match. And I think a great environment should be pretty entertaining. All right, quarterfinal prediction. I agonized over this one. This one was the toughest by far out of the four. And I ultimately am going with Casper Ruud defeats Novak Djokovic. This was a similar situation that I had in Rome. It was the same kind of Djokovic and Ruud, opposite sides of the quarter. I didn't know who to go with. I ended up going with Djokovic. The match didn't come close to materializing. Both Novak and Casper got upset. But I want to take you back to my logic. One of the reasons why I went with Novak, the main reason why I went with Novak coming into Rome. And it was because I felt that Djokovic was on a path to getting back to playing his best tennis. And there is no doubt in my mind that if Djokovic plays his best tennis, his skill set, his experience, everything about him as a tennis player is too much for Casper Ruud to handle. And I felt that Novak was on that path to getting back to his best. My confidence is not there anymore with Novak. There have been too many bad matches this year that I don't doubt that at some point Novak will get back there. I don't somewhat doubt that, but I don't completely discount the possibility of that. But is it going to get there next week? Is it going to happen that quickly with all of the inconsistency we've seen? Again, my faith in Djokovic to get to his best level for this Roland Garros has been shaken. And Casper Ruud is a guy who has very much shown the tennis that he's capable of this year. He has made 4 finals. Novak has made 0. Ruud has won 32 matches this year. Djokovic has won 14. And, you know, it's not just that Novak has played no events. The win percentages are even far superior for Ruud. So I just trust Casper more to bring a top 10 level of tennis where Novak has been so uneven that I just don't really know what to expect here. And that's why I am going with Ruud. Feels wrong, feels terrifying, feels scary, but that's where I'm at right now. Let's go to Alexander Zverev's quarter. He is the number 4 seed. You got Zverev, Medvedev, Demonor, Runa, Khachanov, Bublik, Griekspoor, and Novone. My dark horse, I have 2, Luciano Dardari and Jan-Lennard Struff. Upset alert, Alexander Bublik, and early popcorn, the no-brainer of the century, Alexander Zverev versus Rafael Nadal in the first round. Dardari is someone I've probably slept on a little bit. He is 25-12 on the year on clay, and I'm including challenger results in that, but he's also 7-6 against top 50 players, so it's not like he's just beating up on lower-level challenger players or anything of the sort. Moves well, defends incredibly well. He will hit his backhand down the line. He'll take advantage of short balls off of his forehand. He's a solid player. He's a clay grinder, but someone who even hits his serve a little bit bigger than most clay grinders. I like Dardari. He's rock solid, and I think he'll beat Griekspoor. I think he'll play Zverev in the third round and make Alex earn everything at the very least. Struff is my other dark horse. I think that he is probably I'm just going to say easily a top 20 player in this draw. So it's a no-brainer pick for the dark horse. 18-9 record on the clay last 2 years, a Masters 1000 final, a 500 title in Munich, wins over Ruud, Tsitsipas, Fritz. And you look at his losses this year over the course of the clay court season, all of them are to great players, Sinner, Alcaraz, Tsitsipas. He's due for a run at Roland Garros. I don't know if it's going to come this time or not, but he's certainly due, and he certainly has the capability. Upset alert is Alexander Bublik. I feel like I've put him upset alert a couple times this clay court season. Probably has to play Struff second round. And he is 1-3 lifetime against Struff. And he's also going deep in Lyon. And I've observed over the course of Bublik's career that sometimes when he has a great run, the next week doesn't go so well. I don't know, just kind of an observation. I don't have data to back it up. Looks like he might play till Saturday in Lyon. Potentially. We'll see. Popcorn Zverev Nadal. A lot of people are upset about this. I don't know why, and I'll talk about it more on 3. I'm not that upset about this. I mean, what is the goal here? Is it for Nadal to win 2 matches, 3 matches, 4 matches? 5? Like, I don't know what was going to equal success and failure, but last time I checked, success was healthy, dignified, decent quality tennis match where Nadal can feel okay about that being the final chapter. And I don't see why that can't happen in a first round match against Alexander Zverev. I don't know, maybe I'm missing something here, but I'm just not outraged at this draw where a lot of people were very upset, even though I admit that it takes away, you know, the chances that Nadal wins a match are obviously severely diminished by playing one of the title contenders in the first round. Anyway, I think that Nadal is going to play well in this match with a high level of intensity. First round is ideal, obviously, physically, for Rafa to really give this his all. And I think Zverev should be really happy about this opportunity as well, to be kind of a part of history if he wins, to be a part of history if he loses also, because it would be a very like Serena Williams, Annette Contaveit, like epic way to go out kind of thing, assuming that this is Nadal's last Roland Garros, which isn't even a 100% thing at the time. Yeah, nothing would surprise me in this match. Tough spot for Zverev, kind of an awkward spot mentally. Like, I do expect to see some nerves, and we'll see if Rafa can take advantage of that. I'm looking forward to watching this match at the end of the day. It is a clear early popcorn. It is a blockbuster match right away that everybody is going to be completely in on.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That brings me to my quarterfinal prediction, and I have Alexander Zverev defeating Daniil Medvedev. So Daniil is one of the big winners of this draw. Now, this quarter is actually very good. There's a lot of strong unseeded players. There is Karen Khachanov. There's Holger Rune. Two very strong kind of middle seeds, you know, between 10 and 20 for those guys. And they're both very strong in their own right. So this is a strong quarter, but somehow Medvedev seems to avoid most of that. The best opponent I have Daniil playing before the quarterfinal is probably Struff, maybe Demonor, Bublik, Navone. He might see one of those guys. Nobody in the power rankings, not even in the next out. So Medvedev has, you know, the draw has opened up. Yes, it wasn't a very good clay court season, but he's not a guy who, and I know he got upset last year, first round at Roland Garros. He's not a guy who I just write off and say, well, he's probably going to get upset by somebody who he's way better than. I mean, this is someone who is, if you go by Tennis Abstract's ELO, he is sixth in clay ELO. He is eighth in my power rankings. He's made five big clay quarterfinals in his career, including one at Roland Garros. He's not going to beat himself. I don't really see anybody who profiles super similar to Tiago Zajac-Vilch, who's going to overpower him from the back of the court. I mean, Struff might challenge him with the net rushing, but he's just got many more dimensions to his game compared to Struff. So I do feel that Medvedev will navigate his way to the quarterfinal. Now he's 2-0 against Zverev on clay. Both came last year, whereas Zverev was kind of still building himself up, and some of them, I think both of them, if my memory serves, were close matches. I remember specifically the one in Monte Carlo was super, super tight. But, you know, right now, it's hard for me to look past the serving. I mean, Zverev is serving miles better than Medvedev is serving at the moment. And I also think a tactical key, backhand to backhand. The fact that Medvedev's ball stays so low has traditionally, I think, bothered Zverev quite a bit. On clay, that isn't as much of a thing, despite the head-to-head. Zverev does have a tougher path. You know, Nadal first round, obviously interesting. Luciano Dardari, you know I like him. Khachanov or Runa, a lot tougher than what Medvedev has to deal with. But I think if Sasha is able to actually navigate through all of that, which I think he has the ability to do, I think he'll take out Daniil and he'll make the semifinal. Let's move on. Carlos Alcaraz's quarter. Top seeds are Rublev, Tsitsipas, Shelton, Humbert, FAA, Korda. And this is a typo. It should say Fis, but I wrote FAA on the slide accidentally. My dark horse here is Zhang Zhizhen. My upset alert is Ben Shelton. My early popcorn is Tsitsipas versus Fucsovics in the first round. There were not a lot of unseeded players who intrigued me in this quarter. So Zhang Zhizhen was kind of an easy pick because I think he is an excellent unseeded player here. Made a quarterfinal run in Rome. So that's what he's coming off of. You'll remember last year, his big breakthrough was a quarterfinal in Madrid. So, you know, when you make in back-to-back years, when you make Masters 1000 quarterfinals on this surface, that's something to take note of. Career record on clay, terrific, 17-12, 3-2 against top 20 opponents, wins over Nori, Fritz, and Shelton. Took a set off of the eventual finalist Casper Ruud at last year's Roland Garros. Huge hitter off the ground. Stylistically reminds me a lot of Nicolas Jarry. The clay helps him because it gives him extra time. He's tall guy, very strong from shoulder level, you know, really, really crushes the ball. And I have him beating Hugo Humbert. So that's one upset that I have. I just didn't want to double up on one section of the draw. And that's why instead of putting Hugo Humbert on upset alert, even though I actually have him getting upset, I decided to throw Ben Shelton here. Now, this is an interesting quarter because you have probably the best trio of players in this quarter. Alcaraz, Rublev, Tsitsipas, they are all top seven in my power rankings. You have two title contenders, and then Rublev I consider the borderline title contender, the one guy who I feel like straddles the line between not title contender and title contender. But then you have a bunch of players who, you know, they either prefer hard courts or prefer faster courts. Shelton, Humbert, FAA, Korda, Fis, who's really struggled toward level this year, but he just won a challenger. There are a lot of options for upset alert. Here's the thing, you know, Shelton, the resume on the European clay suggests that it just hasn't clicked. Now, in a way, it's kind of mean to take away Houston. I mean, he did win Houston. That is red clay. But his career record on European clay is 4-10. It's 2-3 this year, and I don't love the losses. Bublik in Madrid, that one's all right, you know, especially in altitude against the serve of Bublik. Loses to Zhang Zhizhen. I like him, you know, but again, it's would still be an upset. And then Flavio Caboli just earlier this week. He hasn't even really gotten far enough as a high seed at these events to lose to fellow top players. And that's been the pattern. I just think there are still issues with steadiness, return, defense on the clay. Even though he's got that great forehand that I think at some point in his career might take him far on the surface. And he probably plays Hugo Gaston, who just won four matches in Lyon, including beating Francisco Cerúndolo. And if you aren't patient against Gastón, that's where he can really be tricky, because he defends well. He plays with a lot of height, not a lot of pace. Makes you kind of generate everything. Obviously, he takes away your rhythm and drop shots you all the time. Just tricky first round. I do think, though, if Shelton avoids an upset in the first couple rounds and Alcaraz isn't healthy here, that's where there's actually a lot of opportunity for Ben to maybe go on another run, which he has done at these slams now, two of them almost ahead of schedule. Where his third round seed is FAA, fourth round will be Alcaraz. So, you know, I think it's one of those things, upset alert, but also draw might open up, and then look out if he's playing his best. Popcorn match is Tsitsipas versus Fucsovics. Look, with Stefanos, and I think this is true for Casper and Zverev, and I mentioned the nerves with Zverev, but all three of them have tough first rounds, right? Rude has Jakub Mensik. Zverev has Nadal, and Tsitsipas has Fucsovics, and I think all of them are going to feel extra nerves coming into this tournament, because they are aware at the opportunity. They are aware that this might be their best chance in a while to go all the way. So I think one of them is going to get into trouble. I don't know if they're going to lose, but I think one of them is going to get into a hole, play a long match, a four-setter, a five-setter. And maybe it'll be this one. I don't know. Look, Fucsovics, he has played top 10 players at slams 9 times in his career. He's won 2 of them, but here's the impressive one. He has taken a set in 7 out of the 10 against top 10 players at a slam. And he's just had a knack for taking out seeds as well. Maybe not top 10 seeds on a consistent basis, but he's taken out a lot of seeds in his career. So Fucsovics, Tsitsipas could get interesting. We'll see. Quarterfinal prediction here. This is going to be the shocker of the kind of the shocker of the prediction video, I would say, because I have Tsitsipas defeats Alcaraz, which has been an incredibly lopsided head-to-head. I actually didn't check the number. It's either 4-0 or 5-0. I should have that. I apologize. But what I have pointed out is that every time these two have played, dating back to the U.S. Open in 2021 when they played in the third round and Alcaraz won in 5 sets, Tsitsipas has actually gotten further and further and further away from beating Carlos Alcaraz. What I want to hammer home first here is that part of my predictions here are not about assuming that the quarterfinal matchup is going to happen. So I am more confident picking Tsitsipas to the semifinal in general, regardless of the draw, compared to how confident I am picking Alcaraz to the semifinal. Now, draw-wise, I think Tsitsipas is a tough draw, but I'm more confident in his form. Alcaraz, it's an interesting draw. He plays a lot of guys who I think could be really bad and could be really good, but there's a lot of talent there. There's Draper, there's potentially Korda, there's Shelton or FAA, like a lot of guys who will attack Alcaraz, who can kind of take the racket out of his hands a little bit, and you don't want to face those guys when they're firing on all cylinders, even though they could beat themselves. So that part is interesting, but look, I'm worried about Alcaraz's injury. Hey, don't get me wrong. You know, if you have a healthy Alcaraz at his best, I would never make this pick. I am not somebody who has been, you know, in general at all optimistic that Tsitsipas is going to turn around the head-to-head in a meaningful way. I just think that the forearm injury, because it directly affects his ability to hit what I believe is his most important shot, his forehand, I think that is so sensitive. So it really worries me in general when players have wrist issues, forearm issues, elbow issues, shoulder issues, arm issues. I could have just said that. Because I think it can weigh on the mind in a lot of different ways. It can linger in ways that I think some of the movement injuries don't usually linger quite as much. And the other problem with Alcaraz is there hasn't been enough great Alcaraz from what I've seen in the last like 8 or so months. You know, there's been a lot of good Alcaraz, a lot of it. there's been some flashes of great Alcaraz, but I haven't seen a lot of tournaments where it's been great Alcaraz start to finish. So I trust him a little less than normal. And that's kind of what it comes down to. One more thing I want to say about this. A lot of the times when players are somewhat close in level, and I think on clay, these two are somewhat in the same category at the very least, even though I generally give the edge to Alcaraz. Head-to-heads, they usually don't go the same way, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, over and over again until the end of time. And that can sometimes happen with like a Djokovic Monfils. It happens occasionally. Usually there's some real separation there. I don't know that the separation exists in this case. And like, you would have thought that Rublev was never going to beat Medvedev if you saw the first several times they played. Rublev has beaten him twice now. This happens all the time. And will it happen here? I don't know. Again, it's a lot of it just has to do with my general confidence in their ability to make the semifinal more so than the matchup itself. With the Alcaraz injury worrying me, liking Tsitsipas's form, the way he's playing. He was flat as a corpse, by the way, when these two guys played last year at Roland Garros and it wasn't even close. That Tsitsipas, I'm not seeing that guy anymore. He was all over the place, all over the mat mentally last year, and even a little bit the year before. He's been razor sharp this clay season, mentally. Forget the backhand and all that stuff technically. Just mentally, he's been way better from what I've seen. All right, let's leave it at that. Let's move on. I'm going to take a lot of crap if that matchup ends up happening in Alcaraz wins in straights again. Jannik Sinner's quarter. He's the number two seed. We got Sinner, Hurkacz, Dimitrov, Jari, Baez, Tabilo, Tiafo, and Nori. My dark horse is none. Just could not find one, unfortunately. Not one that I actually feel confident in making a run. Brandon Nakashima has been consistent over the course of the clay season, but also like decidedly unspectacular, and I don't really love his clay court game in general. He's just, you know, won a lot of first and second round matches. You got Luka von Asche. Don't think the weapons are there yet. Don't think there's quite enough strength in his game. Shapovalov, he's still spraying all over the place, and he's not keeping the ball in the court enough still. Yeah, there's Marozsán, who I've kind of liked as a dark horse from time to time. I'm not feeling too confident about it right now, so there's nobody. Upset alert, Francis Tiafoe. You have struggles in form. You know, it didn't click from Houston. You would have thought, okay, maybe the run to the final in Houston, although I wasn't convinced of this, was going to get him out of the funk that he appeared to be in at the start of the season, but the European clay has not treated him all that well. He's only won one match in total, and he lost first round at both of the Masters 1000s that he played. And the Roland Garros resume is also pretty rough for Tiafoe. Best of five clay has not treated him well. He is 3-8 in RG main draws in his career. Did make the third round for the first time last year. All right. Early popcorn, Wawrinka Murray. I'm really excited for this match. Like, this is great for both players. Isn't this fantastic? It's going to be fun to see how this one plays out. Both these guys are really in the same phase of their career. It's the I'm here because I like this phase. I'm here because I like to play competitive tennis professionally in big stadiums in front of a lot of people for a lot of money. Like, that's why Wawrinka and Murray are still at it. They just like this. And there are two players who are often compared to each other, you know, having both won three slams. You know, it's an interesting contrast in terms of their careers and how I think while you can compare them, they're very different. Anyway, I'm not going to go on a tangent here about Murray and Wawrinka. Slight edge to Stan here. I think he is at this point in time the better clay court player, generally speaking. Like, I just don't think Andy brings all that much to the table on clay anymore, where Wawrinka still hits the ball really clean and heavy. I think he just isn't moving into the corners very well and sometimes gets a little bit tired with his footwork these days. But when he's in position and he's locked in, he can still produce a ton of offense from the back of the court. Andy, that's always been tough for him. Quarterfinal prediction here is Sinner defeats Hurkacz. All right, I mean, first of all, Hubie Hurkacz, I think this is the weakest quarter by far. I would argue that Hurkacz has a good draw. I would argue that Sinner has a good draw. So I think both eighths are fairly open. And Hurkacz, he went 11-3 this clay season. Really hasn't been getting upset this year all that often at all. Like he has been consistently beating the players he's supposed to beat, which has not always been the case throughout his career. But I find that off the ground, his forehand has gotten way more consistent and it's kind of taken away a lot of the variance in his game. He's been able to break serve more. So he's still serving just off the charts well. I feel like he can take advantage of this draw and make a Roland Garros quarterfinal. Sinner, it's all about the health. And I'm somewhat optimistic. And I know this is hard. It's hard to be like, I'm worried about Alcaraz. I'm less worried about Sinner because A, I don't have any insider knowledge of where these injuries are at. I don't have the hard details of what their respective preparation has been like. And a lot of it is just about feel and what the injury is. But I think two things are true with Sinner. One, it's a movement injury. So I don't think it's likely to affect his ability to hit the tennis ball at a high level. Has it affected his fitness a little bit? Maybe, but I think he can build that up as the tournament goes on, as long as he's 100%. But the big thing is I don't think he'd be playing if he was still feeling anything in the hip. Because from everything he said, he's like, I'm going to exercise maximum caution. One tournament is not worth it. And he doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk in terms of his mentality about how it's all about setting himself up long term and it's never about the short term. I just don't think Jannik Sinner would be in Paris if the hip was still something that he was feeling. And that's why I feel pretty good about his health. And now I'll go to the final weekend and we'll see exactly how good I feel about everyone I picked to the semifinals. So revealing final weekend predictions in 3, 2, 1. I have Zverev over Ruud in 4, Sinner over Tsitsipas in 5, and Sinner over Zverev in 4. Now, in both cases of the semifinal predictions, part of it comes down to how confident I was with this player going through to the semis in the first place. So I was extremely torn on the Djokovic quarter. Do I want to put Ruud through? Do I want to put Novak through? I could barely decide. Zverev, I was more confident putting in the semis, you know? And that plays into it. On the bottom, very confident about Jannik Sinner as long as he's healthy. So very confident might be an overstatement because you can't be very confident given the health concerns. But Tsitsipas, Alcaraz, boy, if Alcaraz plays his best, then I like Carlitos better. Like, I think if he plays up to his capabilities, he'll be in the semis. So that was tougher for me that quarter. That's part of the reason I feel more comfortable picking Sinner and Zverev to the final. Now, from a matchup standpoint, you know, Zverev-Ruud, I know Ruud beat Zverev easily last year. Zverev was toast physically. It would be a different story this year. Zverev has plenty of advantages in his tennis. He serves a lot better. He hits his backhand better. I think he can absorb Ruud's forehands if he's actually... He defends much better now than he did this time last year, in my opinion. But that would be a tough one, certainly. And then Sinner Tsitsipas... It's been an interesting head-to-head. I do think that Sinner had Stefanos in Monte Carlo. Yes, there was the unfortunate call, but there was also the fact that Sinner at that point had to also be feeling the fatigue and the wear and tear after the march that he had. It's so tough to go deep Indian Wells, deep Miami, deep Monte Carlo. We rarely see it. So I thought that also worked in Tsitsipas's favor. Ultimately, Sinner, Zverev, you know, once we get to that point, it's probably the player who at this point I trust mentally more than anybody other than Djokovic in Jannik Sinner against Alexander Zverev, whose nerve management I don't trust in major finals. You know, I feel like under pressure, even if you go back to the Australian Open this year, there were moments where in the Medvedev match, Zverev just couldn't bring himself to take risks and attack. You get passive against Jannik Sinner, and the power he brings, he's going to hit a hole right through the court. He's going to tear you up. It's not an option. So I think he has everything. I think he's been the best player this year. Ultimately, I've been wanting to pick Sinner to win Roland Garros, and the only thing that was going to stop me is his hip. And when it came down to it, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to let the hip stop me, because I don't think he'd be playing if the hip were really an issue. Jannik has been playing the kind of high percentage, rock solid tennis with enough powerful, high margin aggression to stay in attack. And that to me is how you win French Opens. It's what Nadal had done all those years. It is how Djokovic has transformed himself in recent years to become probably the best clay version of himself, or a different clay version of himself. It's how Team had success on clay. It is how Wawrinka had success on clay. You need to marry baseline steadiness with baseline power. And who does that better than Sinner? And you have to play percentage tennis from the back of the court. You have to be reliable. And I feel like Sinner is just so reliable. He returns extremely well. He's defending better than ever. And I just, every time I've seen him play this year, he's looked like a guy who can win RG. Every time I've seen him. And that includes this clay court season where, you know, he lost after being up in the third set against Tsitsipas and Monte Carlo in a semifinal, no shame in that, and then never even lost in Madrid. Sinner's the guy for me, all right? Remember part two. It's going to be great. Analytical deep dive on the Roland Garros contenders. We're going to delve into their seasons and what everything. All right, I'm just going to leave it at that. Watch part two. Hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you next time.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Meet Kara. Kara's thing is perfectly juggling her family's packed schedule.
Monday soccer, Tuesday haircuts, Wednesday birthday party.
She doesn't have a whole lot of spare time, so she shops at Walmart for all of her over-the-counter medications.
Thursday swimming, Friday groceries.
That way, she can help keep her family healthy and on track without having to make an extra stop or spend a lot on health and wellness essentials.
Saturday, fill the medicine cabinet. Sunday, massage for me.
Yeah, you've earned that. Welcome to your one-stop shop. Welcome to your Walmart.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.